Welcome to Inside the Food Biz. I'm Ruben Torres, your co-host, and today we are getting into this interview with Hallie Leiter of Crazy Goose Bar in downtown San Diego. She's going to give us a behind-the-scenes aspect and look of what's going on behind the closed doors of a bar and all the madness that you would think that actually you don't even really think of when stepping foot into a bar. And we get some insightful feedback on, you know, I start asking a lot of questions because I don't know nothing about it. So it seems pretty pretty in-depth here, and this is a great interview. I think any listeners, anybody who wants to get into the bar scene, they will learn a lot from this interview. So want to let everybody know, make sure you go check out SaverCatering.com, SaverCater.com. This episode is brought to you by Saver Catering, and we are down here in South San Diego where we record these episodes. Make sure you come check us out if you get a chance. Come in and visit. You guys need anything from Saver Catering, make sure you reach out, SaverCater.com, and let's get into this with Hallie.
You're listening to Inside the Food Biz Podcast, where we bring you insightful culinary conversations with today's leading food biz professionals. And here's your host, Eric Romella.
Another episode of Inside the Food Biz with your host, Eric Romella.
Yeah, and my co-host, Ruben Torres.
A sweaty Ruben Torres.
A sweaty Ruben Torres. Well, we didn't want to go into details, but today we have in the show Miss Hallie Leiter. Miss Hallie Leiter is the general manager of WM Entertainment, which happens to own Buggy's Barbecue, Crazy Goose.
Crazy Goose.
And Carne Prima.
Correct.
So why don't you just look in the camera for a second?
Hi.
Okay, she is not 50 years old. So tell me, I mean, being a general manager, you know, basically for three restaurants, which are fairly high volume, mm-hmm. I think you achieved that at a, you know, fairly young age.
Yeah, most of it's trial and error. I pretty much do everything but write checks.
Nice. Okay, so they didn't trust you with that, but everything else they did.
Which they should, though.
Which they should. Maybe you're lucky and they are actually listening to this. So
there you go.
They give you that too. Oh, yeah, we love those checks. I take them too, so.
Yeah, I have, I guess, done a lot for 31. like I said, going into it, you're... For our working in the industry to now managing in that same industry is very different, a lot different than I had thought when I was serving and bartending. And yeah, you know.
So when did you actually start in the industry? When was like your first day, you know, where you were like, I know.
Hospitality, yeah.
Yeah.
I was getting paid under the table in Chicago at a Carmen's Pizza.
You probably should
and
have
said. And I was the worst server
Chicago.
In the world.
Okay.
I was terrible.
That's why you went into management.
Yeah, exactly. No, my friend worked at this pizza place, and she's like, hey, work with me. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
And the rest is history.
The rest is history.
Yeah.
So how old were you then?
14.
You were 14.
Yeah.
So purely theoretically, they could have not employed you, could they?
Oh, and they shouldn't have. I was terrible.
Okay, good.
Nice. But I learned a lot, so.
You learned a lot. So after that, why did you then stay in the industry?
Well, I was always in the industry since 14. And then after I graduated high school, I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do. And I've always had a passion for history. And I thought that was the direction I was going to go in, continuing still with hospitality as what I just did for money. And then I thought to myself, well, I'm so good at this. And I can talk to people. I can make people comfortable. You know, I'm your therapist behind the bar, whatever. Why don't I make this my career?
I like that. The therapist behind the bar.
Oh, yeah. Bartenders have it
Yeah,
it's hard.
Did you do some medicating too?
I self-medicate a lot. Cheers, Eric. But yeah.
So the group that you're with now, the what's it called? WN
Entertainment.
WN Entertainment. Mm-hmm. What do they do? What's
They're amazing. They're from Detroit. I'm from Chicago, so it was a natural connection in terms of Midwest values, roots, kind of bigger city. They owned a lot of places in Detroit, very successful. Came over to San Diego. The schooling system out there isn't the best, so they moved the whole fam to San Diego, and now they're recreating what they had done in Detroit. And we've opened 3 restaurants within a year. And it's a lot. It's crazy. Yeah, downtown.
Yeah.
So our locations, one's on 6th and the other 2 are on 5th.
Wow.
So competition, yes. Everyone wants to steal your menu. They're like grabbing our carne prima menu now. And I'm like, absolutely not. No, we're not ready for anyone to see it yet. It's very fierce. And it's a lot of who you know, which was more, I was taken back by that. I knew that was a part of it, of who you know, downtown, whatever, but it truly is, like, do you know this RMD, do you know, Coen Brothers, It's like, no, we don't, but it's okay. Like, we're still making it. Yeah.
Nice. So. Now, being in downtown, they're rebuilding a whole lot of stuff going on down there with the, when Petco came in and all that stuff, but, are you guys seeing any effects of that? Is it positive or negative?
Well, we haven't seen anything yet, and but it hasn't detracted at all from us either. The construction's going on. Thankfully, San Diego County, police, and everyone making decisions on blocking streets off hasn't affected us.
Nice.
So, it hasn't. But I foresee influx of people coming in the future, especially with all the apartment buildings and the expansion of East Village and Little Italy, which is cool. Yeah,
I love Little Italy.
Little Italy's awesome.
the restaurant industry, we talk about it all the time, though.
Yeah.
The restaurant industry, it's something that I think people like. They're romanticized about owning a restaurant.
Yeah.
And Eric's always like, you don't want to own a restaurant.
No. Don't want to go there.
You told me that before.
Yeah.
I'm still on the fence.
Well, it's okay. You know, you're learning it. So, hey, then it's for you to decide. You can see right now, it's someone else's money. So
right. I'm learning without having to pay for it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But my boss, he was like, this is pretty much he's like, it's a paid internship for you.
Nice. Yeah.
So that's how I see it. If I screw up, I'm not, that's not my money. Is that bad?
So
you're going to find out. You're going back to work. And
you'll find out soon. Now, is there, having a bar that serves food and having just a straight bar, is it, what are the major differences? Like, is there more, legalities that go into it, formalities, or?
Well, in San Diego, you have to serve food if you're going to be a bar. And that could be anywhere from bread on a plate to, 5-course, whatever. But you legally have to serve something. That's why.
I did not know that.
Yeah. There's vending machines count, too. So if you go to, any dive bar, you'll see some form of food offered.
Wow.
It's a San Diego County thing, I guess.
Did not know that.
Well, put it that way. Dive bar.
Candy bar.
Dive bars are fine.
Wow.
You're like, but now saying it, that's, there are some dive bar where they hide the vending machine very well.
And even chips.
I mean, I don't know if I would trust how long they've been in there, but at least they're offered.
That's what's important.
Even selling potato chips and... On the wall, on a rack or something. I guess that counts.
Yeah, it does.
But I seen you recently did some stuff on on the news or something. I've seen some pictures.
Yes, we in the struggle to get people in the door, which is tough for Gaslamp. Mm-hmm. Reaching out, we experimented with radio advertising. Mm-hmm. That's so-so. I guess it's not huge in San Diego. People listen to Pandora instead.
Yeah.
So we tried that.
We do here at least.
And then we tried TV. That's worked. It's done well. Fox 5 was amazing. NBC were super professionals. They were great. That segment was great. So now, the only thing we haven't done in terms of marketing and advertising is print. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if we're going to explore that. But TV was great. Radio, not so much. Social media, it seems to... That's really what everyone pays attention to.
Yeah.
And that's just trial and error, We had to figure that out.
Let me make a note. write an invoice.
So what's going on right now is working.
yeah, this is the new format of everything that's happening.
Yeah.
I went to the San Diego Social Media Day last week.
Oh yeah,
And it was
right.
Awesome. It was very informative, and some of the stuff that I learned, we were already kind of transferring some of that stuff over. Like we were already in the works of doing all that. We had already talked about doing this. We talked about doing this, and then that just kind of solidified everything. Yeah. Like confirmed, hey, we're on the right path.
No, you are. Yeah, so, this is exactly the direction that everything's going in right now.
So, for being a catering company, I think we're gonna be in people's faces, regardless if you wanna, hire Savor Catering or not. You're gonna know who we are.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, and speaking of TV, what's your thoughts of Bar Rescue?
I love Bar Rescue. Yeah, I'm Tafford's the man.
Yeah. he's just all the way from beginning, everything he does, even when he does the Back to the Bar series. Uh-huh. Like I love all that stuff.
Yeah.
Do you find any places that you walk into with his mindset now? Like you walk in and you're like, dude, if you thought like John Taffer, you would be tearing this place apart.
I more so do it at my own establishments. Like I think like, oh my God, Tafford would freak out if he saw what I just saw. Yeah. And as a manager, it's hard not to completely flip shit like he does. I try not to do that when someone's blatantly just like not doing something or making a bad experience for somebody. But I learned there's that extreme of Tafford, and then there's reality where you have to just deal with it responsibly. You have to be nice.
Yeah, he's very strategic in how he goes off on people. Like he yells, and then he goes into something nice right after that. Like,
but you're doing a great job.
Yeah, he'll pat you on the back right after he punches you in the face.
How don't we love that?
Yeah, he's great at that.
No, it's hard not to go into a place and then not have your manager hat on. Because I'm constantly, like, yesterday I was at Searsucker, and everything was just was flawless. It was perfect. And I'm just like, oh, God, I want that energy and that experience, and I want to bring it to where I am. Mm-hmm. And I'm just thinking, like, how can I take it to even further? Mm-hmm. That's fine dining, but still, it was just a great experience that, I try to bring to where I am. It's hard.
Because it is like a science, right? Like,
it is. It is. Very much so. And it's very much so dependent on, the individual. Who you employ is just crucial. Training, yes. But you can't train nice. You can't train, going out of your way to do something. You can tell them.
That's why Eric hires like awesome people here.
Yeah, that's fine.
working for him before, yes.
He knows how to choose them.
Well, yeah, and I think everybody deserves a chance, period. Mm-hmm. That's a little bit like I see it, and it's not because you haven't done it, you don't know how to do it. And there, I would like to come back to your saying, it's really, it's who you choose, the personality you choose.
Yeah.
And if the person is willing, is naturally friendly, outgoing, that's nearly half the battle in our business.
Yeah.
And then, yes, you learn how to put the plate on the table, how to mix a cocktail. But if you don't have, you can mix the best cocktail in the world. If you can't sell it to your client, it's
worth
nothing.
And you're useless. Yeah.
And it's really sad, and unfortunately we have that experience with some people behind the scenes which don't come forward. I don't want to name any chefs, but that happens sometimes, and it's true. Even a chef has to have that approach. Why did Wolfgang Puck make it here in the US? It was more his personality and his marketing than his talent.
Especially now when celebrity chefs are, you know, the face of the restaurant.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
It is.
Do you keep up with any of those celebrity chef shows or anything?
I love Top Chef. Yeah. I think it's, well, they say Chopped is the most accurate, but I love Top Chef.
Yeah, I watched some of those, and for a little bit I was getting into the Cake Boss. Remember we were talking about it yesterday?
Oh, God.
It's like, just because I guess the guy, you know, he made me want to watch it, the whole forget about it East Coast thing or whatever. But you know, we had Giggling Goodies on, and we're asking her the same thing. Hey, do you watch the Cake Boss and the Cupcake Wars and all that stuff that goes on? But that's what I was asking about Bar Rescue, because this is such an awesome show.
And it's true. And he makes it seem a lot, well, he breaks it down to science. Like, what's your marketing niche?
Yeah.
You know, why are you selling it this? Look at your food costs. Look at your pour costs. Yes, that all plays a factor. But then there's like the gray area that's, you know, it just changes all the time.
Yeah, like, well, it's the stuff that you don't think about, like the demographic of who's around you, who lives here, how much do they make, your location, how many cars drive by, how many people see your sign, what kind of sign do you have? Is it neon? Is it,
right.
You know, everything is
and
a science.
And what color of sign? Yeah. I mean, it's just so much.
Everything with him is a science on where you go up to pay, where everything's being poor. Everything is a science. Like it's awesome. But anyway, I was curious about that. I'm sure I'm going to ask everybody that every time they come.
But
tell me about John Taffer.
And if they don't watch that show, then they shouldn't be.
Get out.
In the
don't come in here. No, he's awesome.
Yeah.
So you guys already had a history, Eric.
Yes. Eric hired me. Like what? 3 years ago. Was it?
About 3.5 years ago.
December 2013.
Yeah.
I remember. December 9th, 2013.
Wow. To the exact date. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So what did you guys do together? I don't...
He was my DOS, and I was brought in as a sales manager at the Westgate Hotel.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. And seeing you didn't bring, you know, you got to bring more people in from the Westgate.
Yeah, even more. Oh, they won't let me, believe me.
Eric went over there not too long ago. Right,
oh, did you?
For an event. He was over there for an event.
Yeah. Oh, wait, I heard about this.
Uh-oh. Is that a good thing?
Who told me that? I think Jennifer told me.
Well. Yeah, probably. Yeah. It was actually for the Liz Russell event, you know, for a fashion show. And fashion show. And Liz and I, we are just good friends.
Yeah.
And she wanted to surprise me. So they had this photo wall, and they had SoCal. I mean, not SoCal. They had Savor Catering it. And it was neat,
That's cool.
And it was just nice to be at the hotel, because the Westgate is really a very nice hotel.
Oh,
But not feeling, you know, the pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Just being there, you know, as a guest myself, enjoying it. And I do have to say, sometimes you would laugh. You say, oh, you know, gin tonic is easy to make. But they make a killer Tanqueray tonic. They just do it the right way.
Good.
Well, and if I remember right, you originally wrote a lot of bar recipes for the Westgate.
Yeah. I was in San Diego Magazine over that I'm quite proud of. Sebastian, you remember Sebastian, got here. He came over from Europe. Westgate has this J1 program. He came over to Europe. We sat down and were like, all right, we want to make these cocktails the best ever. The best that Westgate's ever seen.
The best ever.
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 And they were amazing. I have to say, I mean, pat on my back, but can I just
give yourself
can
props.
You reach?
Oh, I do it all the time. I know exactly. No, it's I loved it. I did two cocktails, two different menus, twice a year, and I did it for 2 years, and it ended up being published. And
nice. What were the cocktails?
We did like a summer 12 and then like a winter 12.
Nice.
And we I was talking about how I infused, you know, Buffalo Trace whiskey with, you know, the noir cherries that I brought in, and you know, having the chef like bake sugar and cinnamon cubes, and we would break it up and put it in the cocktails.
It
was on that level.
Yeah, nice.
I very much enjoyed it. Yeah.
See, I'm not a big drinker, but that sounds pretty awesome.
Lime foam.
I want to try that.
That's when they went, you know, from calling well, the head bartender, the head bartender to mixologist.
Yeah.
Which at the very beginning, you know, I was a little skeptical about, you know, mixologists, especially suddenly they were popping up everywhere.
Yeah.
And then I said, well, you know what? If someone earns it, then yes, I think then mixologist is actually a great title.
Bartenders are not mixologists. Sometimes bartenders are just bartenders, and that's okay.
Yeah, and that's totally fine. You know, nobody. Yeah. But that's also why you go to certain bars to experience certain cocktails, because you know, I go to blah 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 to have a traditional Manhattan. Mm-hmm. And you will get one, and you're going to be like, "Oh, it's so good!"
Effing Manhattan you've ever had.
And then you know you start exploring. You ask, "Hey, what else can you make?" And then he, you know, of course the names are all, you know, fantasy names. So they explain you your ingredients, and then you play in your head. You're like, "Oh,
start lighting stuff on fire!" And
well, yeah, and and then you know it's like a good menu. You know, you start tasting it, and then. You get the drink, you drink it, and then it's either going to taste like what the mixologist explained to you, or it's going to be totally off, and you're like, "Yeah, charlatan."
Yeah. So I'm gonna kind of go off the hinge here, but I think we should maybe have an event where we book her to make some of these cool little drinks, and we invite people to come taste these.
Well, we might have her, you know, as a trainer.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
But I still
not John Taffer style though.
Well, we wouldn't have it any other way.
I need a ruler.
Lay the smack down. So what's I mean the nightlife is always kind of crazy and and you know I got a couple friends I promote and work I think with the RMD group and all these guys but that lifestyle is it's not cut out for everyone.
No.
Tell us how you live in that lifestyle. The balance of it.
It's weird because I find like an odd calm comes over me when we're crazy busy. Hmm. I get more anxious and anxiety when we're dead and it's a Wednesday and I'm sitting here like, oh, how do I get people in the door? But yeah, like you said, club nights, we have them Friday night and Saturday night at Crazy Goose. No, Thursday, Friday, Saturday night now at Crazy Goose. And it's intense, you know. It really comes back to the staff. If you don't have proper staff in place, I mean, you're nothing. You're gonna fail. And thankfully, you know, our staff can handle high volume, can handle the rude customers at time, can handle you know, the great people too. Yeah. You know, they know how to you know smile and just maybe don't say anything, make the drink, move on.
Yeah.
You know. And our bar backs are amazing. Our hosts are amazing. And, you know, if you don't have a good crew, you're going to fail. Busy, not busy, no matter where you are. And if it wasn't for them, we would not be a success. And we are a success, especially Saturday nights now. I mean, we're
every packed. Night you have something different, right? Yeah, I seen you had like a Latin night.
We have Latin night on Thursday. Friday, it's a military appreciation, which just started. And then Saturday night, it's not really set. It's more just, you know, DJ, kind of old school hip-hop, 90s throwback night. So, and that's packed. It's packed. Like, Vice is on our asses.
You know, they all got older.
Yeah. Yeah. So, no, we do well. And it's hard. Funny. Like, leaving the restaurant at 4 a.m. sucks. But leaving knowing, like, oh, I just made $17,000 for the restaurant in 4 hours. Awesome, you know.
That works.
That, you know,
you're able to sleep.
That's awesome.
You're able to sleep when you get home doing that. But it's you know, do you find it adjusting, like, during the day? Because I'm sure, you know, if you're coming home at 4 or 5 in the morning, having to adjust to that and then go back all over again, that's
Eric's
a crazy lifestyle.
Gonna laugh.
That's a crazy lifestyle.
I'm sorry. I've seen that.
Yeah.
I'm not sure she really wants to comment on that. But,
but you know what I'm saying? The lifestyle of
morning is not my time.
Morning
everyone
is not,
knows
period.
That.
All right, so then we'll go on to another question.
It's because
you asked.
It's because I was meant to do this. That's why mornings have never worked for me.
You can work it any way you want on that answer. Huh?
She's the only person I know who would take a lift for 2.5 minutes ride.
I probably would too. I'm not a fan of walking.
Oh, and by the way, and still be late.
That's such... I don't know if I can swear on this show.
Yes, you can.
Okay, that's bullshit. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. The driver was late.
I know the driver was always late. It's definitely... It's never my fault.
That's
obviously.
The only way you
can... It's never...
No, I was just checking to see if we had any questions on Facebook Live over here.
That's good, but...
So do you experience some crazy stuff there? I know bar fights or anything?
Yes. You know? The other day, oh, God, it was so funny. There was this woman, huge, like she clearly worked out every day. Definitely on steroids. And her and her boyfriend, same thing, like juice heads. And they're just like getting into it at the bar. And I'm like, well, because sometimes I have to play bouncer. I mean, it's...
Roid rage at the bar.
Yeah. And she's freaking out and he's freaking out. I'm just like, well, I can't really do anything because she's like just going to kill me. Normally, if it's a woman that's out of control, I could be like, okay, you know, I know I can hold my own. You know, I got this. But I definitely couldn't do shit with her. Like, she was huge.
Incredible Hulk.
And it was just like this fight. I'm like, oh, damn it. So I call the cops. Of course, the cops don't come because no one's murdered.
Yeah.
No, thanks, SDPTD. So, yeah, I was just like, well, hopefully they'll just leave because I can't do anything. And no one could do anything. So that was interesting. That was 4th of July. And they did leave eventually. But there was a lot of swearing and pushing. And
how does the staff usually handle that kind of stuff?
Legally, I tell them don't do anything because I have to. You know, I don't. If they get injured... You know, it's on us, and I don't want them to get injured. So I tell them, like, don't get involved. Just stay out of it, you know. If they're obviously intoxicated, don't serve them, you know.
Yeah, stop.
Don't try to... I had a bar back tried to, like, oh, hey, call me. I'm like, no, Alex. Like, don't even. Just let them
handle their own
business. It. And then I come in, I'm like, okay, guys, like, thank you so much. Let's move it along.
Yeah. There's a great bar next door that loves arguing.
There's free shots across the street. Bye.
Tell them I sent you.
Yeah.
But dealing with staff and having to train and having to do all this stuff with the staff, what are some of the different things that we don't know, like from the outside looking in, that only you as a general manager would know that these are the things that need to be set in place?
Well, that was, and it's still, it's always a work in progress. Things are always changing in terms of like how you train the staff, what steps you need to do. I have to be hands-on in the training process. Mm-hmm. I left it up to the staff, like staff trained other staff, and I was like, okay, we'll be good, because I put them with, you know, the ones that really kill it. That didn't work, so... You have to get involved, and I get involved in the training process as much as I can. I'll detail the menu with them. Like, I'll sample wines and beers with them. I'll sit them down and like do a whole 2-hour like tour of our menu, cocktails, happy hour, all of that. And you have to, because I mean, you should care, you know. Yeah. And I care a lot. I want them to be as educated as possible, and I want them to have the tools to sell. You know, if they look good, we look good. Yeah. You know, if they don't know what they're doing, then we're screwed.
So Haley, how do you think then that the last... Well, you have been there now for about 1.5 years?
It'll be a year in August.
A year in August. Mm-hmm. How do you think has that changed you, you know, as being now fully responsible, you know, for 3 operations, basically? Yeah.
Well, I have a good team. I'm not solely responsible for everyone. I'm mostly at Crazy Goose. Waylon does a great job at Bugsy's. And our chef, Elian, is at Carne Prima. And they're about to open, and it looks beautiful. So we have weekly meetings with the, you know, the owners and then the staff, or the managers and GMs and everybody. So it's not just me. It is a whole team. I've changed... Well, I know a lot more about the restaurant industry than I ever knew. It's, gosh, the bills that come in, it just blow my mind.
Yeah, isn't it interesting, you know, when you see all the bills?
Like,
it's like
really,
us, you know, we see the bills coming in and I'm always like, ah.
Yeah.
But they don't go away.
No. And they're always like random. Like, oh, you need to test your backflow with the water. Here's $1,000. Like, what? Like, can't we just cook food and make people laugh? No.
Okay. Yeah, it doesn't work anymore.
Nope.
And is it, do you find yourself, like you mentioned Vice before?
Yeah.
Do you
love them? They're great.
Yeah. Tell me about that, because I know even down in Barrio Logan, some of the places that are doing stuff down there, Vice went down hard on them not too long ago, and like, you're supposed to be an art gallery, you're selling beer and wine, and what's going on?
Geez,
you know,
yeah.
So like, they're kind of coming down hard on everyone. Mm-hmm. But what is stuff that they would come in to see you guys for?
I respect Vice, and they definitely are necessary, because bars and clubs and restaurants will take advantage, and I understand, you know, everyone's trying to make a buck, but there has to be those procedures set. There has to be. Mm. I mean, the shooting that happened in Florida, horrible. If that back entrance way wasn't, if it was full of crap, no one could even get out at all. Mm-hmm. And that's something that we have to make sure that there is a back alley that's always accessible. You know, those things have mm-hmm. to happen.
Yeah.
Because shit happens. And yeah. So they're there to make sure there's always a fire, well, quote fire, but it's actually emergency exit.
Mm-hmm.
That everyone can leave that way. They have to make sure that there's enough security people per people that are inside and standing outside in the line, which is a new thing that they added.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what is that about?
So you need one security guard every 25 people standing in your line.
Wow.
And for every 50 people inside your establishment, there has to be a security guard. So we're running about 16 to 17 guards a night. On Saturday. Wow. Yeah.
That's a lot.
It's a lot.
That'll eat up your budget right there.
I remember having two security guards for 600-700 people.
Oh my God. If a fight broke, you guys would be screwed.
Well, I don't know. You know, maybe we were always lucky, or maybe times were different. I have no idea.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it's true, you go back, you try to compare, but you can't really compare because the scene has changed and people are, yeah, they were aggressive people there. They were. But I think that the willingness to be aggressive has escalated.
Yeah, very much.
People just fight faster, and the worst is they draw faster.
Yeah, yeah. And since the incident in Florida, there's a lot of new rules that have had, like, no more backpacks anywhere, and that's a law now.
Yeah.
You can't. So if someone brings a backpack, you can't walk in our door at all.
Wow.
Yeah.
And this is all recent.
This is recent.
Yeah. Wow, I didn't know.
It shows
that.
You, you know, sign of the times. Yeah. I guess.
Yeah, incidents like that, I mean, they change the world. You know, they change the way things happen. I mean, you know, airports, all that stuff. And it's sad to see, but sometimes it's got to happen. It's got to be intact. But and so how do you bring in outside promoters to keep traffic coming in and out?
How does that work? And that, I've learned, is key in San Diego. If you don't have a good promo team, you're not.
Is that an outside promo team? Or
yes, outside. Yep.
Wow.
So we have two promotion companies that handle our Saturday night and our Friday night and Sunday brunch. Top Shelf Entertainment does our Saturday nights, and they're amazing. They pack us every Saturday. It's guaranteed business.
Wow.
We didn't have promos, and we're like, oh, we're in the gas lamp. Psh, we got this. Yeah, we're going to be busy. Whatever. Yeah. We don't need to hire anybody. Nope. No.
No, especially in the gas lamp.
You have to.
No, what's interesting about the gas lamp, and I think from people from the outside looking in, they don't understand that, yes, there's a lot of residential in the gas lamp, but there's so many restaurants and bars nightclubs which totally outweigh, you know, the residents. And, of course, when you have a convention, that's a different ballgame. But seriously, there are not that many conventions over the year which fill the city, you know, city-wise. It's great to hear the numbers that tourism is going up.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird that it doesn't translate, like, really to hotel occupancy going up. But people like Airbnb, they definitely profit from that trend. And then
which is hurting the hotel industry.
Yeah, totally is. But, hey, nevertheless, we're going to have another, I don't know how many thousand hotels nights soon. So
Yeah. Sort of. There's so many. Well, Pendlery, Marriott. There's two Marriotts being built.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, then the Intercontinental, then there is the Ritz-Carlton they talked about.
Is that happening?
I sincerely don't know. It's like they got a lot of buzz, and now it's very quiet.
Yeah.
But then the Manchester development, I mean, that's bound to happen. I mean, San Diego can definitely get a lot more tourism that they're getting now. So for all the residents, you know, just be prepared. It's going to get more tourists. It's not going to go backwards. It's going to go
forwards. For me.
Yeah, you need it. But tell me about Carne Prima. So it's not open yet.
No.
So what's the concept?
It was supposed to be open a month ago, and then it was supposed to be open 2 weeks ago, and then it was supposed to be open.
Just to let also our listeners know, that's totally normal in the restaurant industry or hotel. I've never in my life experienced a restaurant or hotel opening the day they had set. It just doesn't happen.
And that's okay. Just as long as you know that. You know?
Well, yeah, and as long as you have the money.
As long as you prepare for it.
You pay, because you still pay the rent. I mean, that rent is not going to go away.
Nope. Yeah, so Carne is, we're trying to get it open before Comic-Con.
Okay,
and
that's
I believe that will happen. We'll probably open the doors in about a week. Nice. We're almost done.
So what prevents you from...
Staff.
Like codes?
Staff, fire,
computer.
Can be everything.
I mean, there's so many things. That the floors, wine room is out on delay. We had to fire contractors. We had to bring new ones in because nobody works on the 4th of July, apparently. So,
some weird rule
like
about
that. Like 3-day
huh?
delay on that, because San Diego, you know, everyone loves their holidays and their weekends off.
That happens. Yeah. Now, is there certain, like when you're going into, you know, opening some of these places, you have to pass certain inspections and codes?
Of course. Health department is very much involved. Mm-hmm. Fire marshals, vice. Yeah.
Nice. What does vice have to do with some of the...
They just make sure that we're up to code. You know, that we do have an exit. That we do, you know.
The push bar exit.
Well, now we know really what they're about. It's about an exit strategy.
It's safety. Yeah. It's safety. It is. And they're very, very much necessary. And they don't play favorites. You can't pay off the vice.
You can't pay off the vice. Obviously, you know who you can. But
we know who we can pay off and who we can't. And vice is not one of them. Damn it.
But what's the concept of the restaurant?
It's an Italian... It's Italian, and then we also have aged beef and steaks. So we have an aging room that the guests can see, and we're aging 35 days to 2 months, etc. So we have amazing steaks, and then but overall concept is an Italian restaurant.
Nice. So if I may ask, the idea was to have another Italian restaurant in San Diego, like we have no Italian restaurants in San Diego. But the difference will be that you have the aged steaks.
Yes, there isn't a place that we found, and we did research, that really offered proper aging of beef and pork in San Diego. There's a lot that come close, don't get me wrong, but it's expensive. It takes a while.
It's very expensive.
And... You know, we want to do it in-house. There's no place in San Diego where ages it in-house and you can see it.
What is that process? I don't know.
Well, there's this huge, like... It's
kind a refrigerator.
It's kind of like a wine room, but not. Right.
Yeah.
But doesn't it go
and
bad?
And it's really dry.
Doesn't beef go bad?
But that's the point.
That's the point.
Yeah.
Okay, he's looking at us like...
Yeah, I'm like...
It's kind of like cheese. Like, it's mold and it's rotten, but... Sometimes the better, like the more old, you know, aged it is, the better it is.
The cream.
Yeah. That's the beef, you could use the same thing.
Well,
as
what
steaks.
Happens, it's a certain degree of decomposition, period. And it's an acquired taste. It's an acquired taste, you know, it's a little more gamier than usually. But, you know, like me, I like it, but I like game. And there is a market for that, you know. There's a lot of people which actually look for those. Yes. And from an, you know, it's like a good oyster bar.
All right, I'll take your word for it.
Where the best oyster bar is, because you know you have the freshest. But
think of it like
there,
wine.
It's different. It's you have the older steaks, but they are aged in a process. Controlled process, because it's not like you put your steak out for 60 days.
It's not like hanging out on the roofs in the sun.
How does that work in a plastic bag somewhere? Soaking up the meat, soaking up the blood.
Maybe it's probably cheese or wine. Mm-hmm. It's probably most comparable. I've probably even cheese better than wine.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think what we're going to have to do is take the equipment in.
Do an episode from there.
Yeah, do an episode from there.
Yeah.
And we could talk about it while we're tasting it.
You know what? I can tell Ruben is starting to enjoy the show inside the food
business.
You
know,
he's getting hooked up. No, every guest hooks you up.
It's like it's good. because it's, you know, it's actually, that's probably the fun that Ruben and I'm learning. Do this because, you know, Ruben didn't come out of the food biz. I've been there way too long.
So I'm soaking up the game here.
I've been way too long and I just started a new venture in the food biz. Yeah. And
it sucks you back.
Yeah.
You can't get out of it. It's crazy.
It totally is. And I think what's so nice here is that everybody we have is really very passionate about what they do in the biz. You have to have some emotion.
Yeah.
When you're in that business, because I mean, even if you're, you know, on the other side in the kitchen, well, you're like, you know, it's your food, you know, how is it received by the clients? And I've seen many good chefs actually not getting to the next step of success because they wouldn't listen to their clients. I mean, yes, there are those 20 chefs in the world which can dictate whatever they want to cook and the people will flock to them. But it's like art. It's like, you know, when you are Picasso or, you know, it's yes, people will go and they will pay the price for it, but everybody else goes to IKEA.
Yeah.
Sorry, that was maybe a really bad example, but it's like kind of, oh, this is a nice picture, you know, okay, I buy that, you know, $50, okay, I can do that, but I'm not going to pay $5 million for it.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have the chefs, you know, and people will be willing to pay $300-$500 to eat with them and experience their idea of food.
And that's what we're hoping for Carne. You know, it's the first time WM Entertainment has gone fine dining. So there's a lot that the owners learned. There's a lot that I have learned in just plateware. I mean, everything is under a microscope with fine dining. Our other restaurants, it's like, oh, silverware, okay, whatever. Forks, spoons, what's the cheapest? All right, send it over. Yeah. This, it's like everything is so detailed. And we want the guests to see that. And that's what they're paying for too. So
yeah, that's the whole experience. Right. So probably you will be in the what, $60-$80 range minimum.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Okay, that means
a person for sure.
Of course, not sharing plates.
No.
Well, yeah, and that's also sometimes that misconception. You know, it's you want something good, you have to pay the price.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you also have to be aware you might eat something you personally don't like. And that's where the fine line between an educated palate starts and someone who just likes to eat.
I like to eat.
Yeah, I know you like to eat.
I like to eat. So, you know, my palate, hey, that'll learn. I'll learn that side of it, but I like to eat.
Yeah. Yeah,
we had some tasty little treats yesterday.
Yeah,
I tasted a little bit of everything. Boom. I like to eat. Look at me.
Yeah.
I'm chubbier while I've been working here. Look at that. I don't know how many pounds I've gained being here. But
yeah, but I don't think that's from the food you're eating here.
we get lunch here every day. Like whatever they make downstairs.
Oh,
it's
cool.
A surprise every day. Like we don't know what we're going to get. But aside from that, like the girls that work here, they make tortillas. So every Friday they're bringing up like dozens of tortillas. Like, here you guys go.
Who do you like more, the tortilla or the girls?
And then, on top of that, we're getting people that bring us goodies. We had ice cream tasting here not too long ago.
Oh, that's fun.
So, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's it's a little bit of everything.
I can't wait, actually, to have them on the show because their ice cream is, this is how ice cream should be. And they made a big point in saying, you know, they're not gelato. They are really ice cream with cream.
Sugar. Oh,
and it was so good. Yeah. I mean, and the density, organic. I mean, literally 100%.
Oh, that's
not
nice.
Whipped ice cream. That's why, you know, they sell them like at Whole Foods and so on. And they're little, I don't know, I think they're 12-ounce jars or something like $12.
Jesus.
That's but people crazy. Will stay in line and they will sell out.
Yeah.
Every time, because they have limited production. But like the avocado ice cream, you know, they're like, oh.
No.
In
is it good?
Oh, my God, yes.
Yeah.
He said decent.
I
could tell it wasn't his.
No, it was good.
Strawberry and basil. That sounds good.
Strawberry and basil really stood out to me. But I never had avocado ice cream. Taste of this. At first, I went in thinking, avocado ice cream, that's...
Yeah.
But then you taste it, and you're like, this is some pretty darn good avocado ice cream. But there was others that I liked, you know, a little more, but that one was good, so...
That's cool.
So it was good. But, anything else you want to plug in real quick? Because I know we're running low on time.
We're running low on time. Carne Prima is going to open...
Carne Prima will be open guaranteed August 1st.
Guaranteed.
Yeah.
Okay. Where can our listeners find you on the internet?
So you can go, each restaurant has their own website. You can go to carneprima.com. You can go to crazygoosebar.com. You can go to bugsysbarbecue.com. We're also on Facebook, and each location has their own Facebook. Just type us in, Crazy Goose San Diego, you'll find us.
Okay, so now Carne Prima, now I understand. Bugsy's Barbecue.
Mm-hmm. Bugsy's Barbecue, it's really fun. If you like barbecue, I didn't know anything about barbecue until they opened. And my gosh, the smoking process is very, very extraordinary. How they smoke for 14 hours in hickory and cherry pine on purpose to get that, to get those notes in there. The whole process is really cool, and we have it's giant. It's about as big as this room, our smoker in the kitchen, and it's awesome. You have to try it. Everything's smoked there. Everything. It's cool. It's cool. Like ribs, sausage. I mean, we have turkey legs that you get like at the fair.
Wow.
That it's on 5th, so in between E and F. Yeah, Bugsy's Barbecue. It's really catching on. Yeah, I'm surprised how popular it's getting.
So do you find yourself competing with Phil's?
Yes. Yes and no. I mean, we hear different things. There's a lot of different styles of barbecue. I wasn't aware. I knew there was a few, but you can be, you know, Louisiana barbecue, you could do Texas barbecue. I mean, there's vast differences. And we're different from Phil's. Yes, we're a competitor, but it's just a different style. So... Yes and no. I don't want to bash anybody.
No.
But,
but
we're better.
But I'm
Phil's,
you know, that's
no, Phil's is good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Question to that. Do you have any complaints about the smell?
How
did they handle that? Because
like the smoke? Yeah.
Yeah.
You will leave smelling like smoke. And... We're not changing that.
Yeah. So do you have a disclaimer when you come in?
No.
You're going to
like
smoke?
It'll go away within
you want to go out?
I almost said a year.
And especially I know that women may be more than... You know, men might be cruel, you know. Oh, I smell like barbecue. But girls, it's more like, oh, I smell like barbecue. Ah. Well, without the of course.
It goes away.
How long does it take?
Well, it depends on how long you're sitting in the restaurant.
Or is it more than like you work up an appetite and say, oh, baby, now I want to barbecue you?
It's an aphrodisiac.
Is it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
How could you tell the difference?
The smokier, the better.
Okay. Okay. We can take that.
What are some of the misconceptions that, from the outside looking in, something like, I don't know anything about the food industry. Mm-hmm. What are some of the misconceptions? You have three completely different places here. Mm-hmm. Barbecue, the bar.
And traditional food. American, yeah.
So what are some of the misconceptions from the outside looking in about owning places like this or running places like this that most people don't know?
Most people think it's a lot easier than it is. And a lot of staff and a lot of people coming from the outside think, oh, I'm going to make so much money. I'm in the gas lamp. It's like, no, you might not. Like, it really depends on you, you know? And the difference between 5th Street and 6th Street is just like, it's unbelievable. And it's a huge difference. We're talking dollars. I mean, thousands of dollars. Just because that one block of difference, it's... If you're not on 5th, it's harder to make money. Yeah. So Bugsy's is on 5th. And we kind of like sat back and like, all right, we don't have a promo team for them. And we're busy because A, the food's amazing. And B, being on 5th helps. 4th, 6th, it's harder.
Why do people
it's
just...
It's nuts how different it is.
They come, the gas slam for them, that's 5th Avenue.
Yeah.
So it's up 5th Avenue, down 5th Avenue... And you usually
if you're
have
a local
a night.
Listening to this, hang out on 4th and 6th because 5th is doing fine.
Yeah, but it's
yes,
true. That's
please.
That's how you know.
Yeah,
we have the Silk Wars. I mean, Little Italy has evolved a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
But the thing is that you know it Little Italy is very residential, and in one way they are actually not very happy about their development, about so many people going there, having suddenly nightclub there, and
yeah,
they didn't expect that.
They have a nightclub there now?
They had. I know it opened the doors, and then
well, there's
they
a
got
lot of places opening later, like staying open later and later, which kind of you know they don't like it. The noise traffic comes you know into play, and their little bubble, you know, of Little Italy.
It's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I love Little Italy. So.
I miss living there. Yeah, it was fun. But
well, I won't ask any personal questions, will I? Well,
yay.
Cheers. Let's
cheers.
Drink to that. Thank you so much, Ellie.
And you all are invited to the soft opening at Carnet. I'll email you.
Thank you.
Yeah. And Crazy Goose. Crazy Goose is like a redheaded stepchild. Like it never gets the attention it deserves.
I don't do downtown as much anymore.
Sure.
I was down there a lot back in the day. But, you know, I haven't been down
there. You've migrated to another part of the city. But, you know, we have to get someone from there and sit down because I think it's totally... people don't even know what's going on in Barrio Logan, and they would be surprised. Yeah. They would be surprised. And that is more for locals, because I'm not sure that tourists are ready for Barrio Logan yet.
No.
But the locals, the locals definitely are. Definitely are. I mean, even, you know, you took me there, and I hadn't been, you know, to the heart of Barrio Logan for a very long time, and I enjoyed it. I liked it. I was the only guy running around in a suit, but no, I always am. So it doesn't matter. I always am.
I'm glad you made it out. Man, I'm glad you made it out safe. That's good.
Awesome. Thank you for
coming. Thank you, guys.
Yeah. No, thank you so much. And thank you, Savor Catering, you know, for sponsoring.
Woo!
And thank you, viewers, listeners, for supporting us. I mean, just yesterday, I mean, the response to the show was incredible. I shouldn't say yesterday, shouldn't I?
No, you shouldn't say yesterday, but we did a report yesterday, and we don't know what order that'll be in, but we recorded a show, and we got some great response. Facebook Live, everybody started sharing that, and overnight we had over 400 views, so that was kind of cool. I mean, for some people, that'd be like, it's 400 views, but for us,
for us, it's plenty.
It's a big deal, yeah.
And, you know, so, yeah, it was pretty awesome.
Great. Good. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Haley. And thank you. Thank you, listeners, viewers.
Send them our way. SaverCreative.com, and you can find us all over social media, doing it with and representing not just for the city but for the community and any other things that we can get involved in or result in. So send us some love and we'll send some back. Thank you guys. Thank you, Helly. And we are out. SaverCreative.com, inside the food biz.